off again and on again, government shutdown. A week ago, it looked like a continuing resolution was in the bag. Maybe we thought too fast. With this week's update and with a deadline of Friday night, we check in with David Hawkins, senior editor at Roll Call. And now, David, it seems like a different issue. It was Zika and Planned Parenthood. Now it's funding for Flint, Michigan water. That could cause a government shutdown?
Hard to believe, but at least for now, that is the position of the Senate Democrats. The Republicans and the Democrats negotiated for all of last week, really, and even before that. And as you said, I think most people who've been watching this for a while thought that there wasn't much of a fight on either side. But then there turned out to be one. The Democrats wouldn't agree to what Mitch McConnell kept offering. He ended up going out on his own and offering what he describes as a relatively clean continuing resolution, stripped of almost all, essentially all policy riders. He's right about that. With some funding for floods and other emergency items, but no money for the Flint, Michigan water crisis. And that's what the Democrats are objecting to. They look pretty confident that they're going to carry that objection through the first test vote on this bill, which is in the afternoon, after lunch this afternoon, and then the real horse trading will start. I'm not exactly sure how fast that's going to happen, and I have to say that I've been fooled on this one, and now it looks like they are going to be dancing right up against the Friday night deadline.
Yeah, that's right, because there is a House component to this also, because whatever they change in the Senate, then there has to be a reconciliation process.
And well, that's right, except that in this case, the Senate is going first. So the sort of tactical strategy remains the same, which is the leadership, McConnell for the Republicans in the Senate and Ryan, the Speaker of the House, decided early on that the Senate was the place where there was going to be a little bit of pinkiness, wiggliness, and that whatever the Senate could do, the House Republicans in the main, a combination of Democrats and mainstream House Republicans would endorse. So we still think that is still the operating presumption, is that whatever the Senate can agree to pass by, as soon as they pass it, the House will swallow it, somewhat reluctantly, but that there's a bipartisan group ready to vote for whatever the Senate sends their way. But it could, you know, we're talking here about Friday night, and at this point, procedurally, it looks as though probably Wednesday night or even Thursday, the earliest that the Senate could get this done. That leaves precious little time for the House to live up to the expectation that they'll swallow whatever they get.
Wow. So if the shutdown occurs, then that would be midnight Friday or going into Saturday morning. So maybe the weekend could solve things before people would need to come back to work.
That is true. And I think a cynical view of this that's based on past practice is that some people will assume, some members of Congress will assume, that because the shutdown deadline is technically midnight Friday after federal offices have closed for the week, that as a practical matter, the government is not going to feel shut down until Monday morning, and that they have the hostage takers for this process feel like they could play this out through the weekend if they needed to.
But as Roll Call is also reporting, it's not the bill that is in the Senate is not completely policy rider free. There is one that was put in by McConnell regarding the SEC and its reporting requirement for dark money. That gets to the bigger issue of campaign contributors, and that's something that's one of those religious arguments going on.
That is one of the very good, very well said religious arguments. This is a pattern of Senator McConnell's. He is a dogged proponent of the most liberal possible campaign finance system, and that he tends to use his power at these times to insert language sort of to do with the campaign finance system, sometimes with the Democrats' blessing, sub rosa, and sometimes not. And this seems to be one of those not times.
We're speaking with David Hawking, senior editor at Roll Call. And related to how Congress operates, I guess, we should note your column that has appeared this week regarding the gala and the opening of the National Museum of African Culture and History, started Friday night. And I heard ads and stories saying this was 100 years in the making. It was 100 years of legislation in the making.
That's right. I mean, it really was there. This the creation of this new museum really is sort of an exaggerated version of a Congress that spins its wheels and then sometimes keeps them spinning, sometimes turns off the car and walks away for long periods of time. This really was 101 years in the making. 1915 was the first time some elderly black Civil War veterans, 50 years after the war ended, started talking about, they came back to Washington for a reunion of the 50th anniversary of the end of the Civil War and started talking about a way to promote black culture and history. They actually got Herbert Hoover and Calvin Coolidge interested in this idea when they were presidents. It was actually Franklin Roosevelt that kind of put the thing on the back burner, and then it really wasn't resurrected again until the 1960s after the death of Martin Luther King, and then it faded again, and then it was resurrected again when John Lewis, icon of the civil rights movement, became Atlanta's congressman in the late 1980s, and it still took him until 2003 to get the law enacted that authorized the museum, and then it's taken another 13 years to get it funded and sited and an architect picked and finally built. So it is, for those who think that gridlock is and stalemate are a function of the modern Congress, there's one history lesson that might disabuse you of that.
And I guess the sad footnote would be if the museum closes a week after it opened because of a federal shutdown.
That would be something, especially because this museum has proved incredibly popular already, not just for the gala opening, but the museum became aware early on that huge groups of people wanted to come and visit it. It's big, and so they've already instituted a system of timed tickets. It times when you can get in. It doesn't time how long you can stay, and the tickets are free. But they have all been gobbled up essentially through the end of the year. So somebody, if the museum is shuttered, even for a busy weekend in October, some tourists who had planned well ahead would be very angry, and they'd really have no recourse. They couldn't come back when the government reopens because all the tickets are taken.
Wow. Well, let's hope that doesn't happen, and maybe we'll know by Friday at midnight, and everything in Washington will stay open. David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call. Thanks so much, as always.
Thank you, Tom.
You can share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.